Hey everybody, Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Perceptive Photographer. This week I wanted to talk about kind of some of the things you need to consider after you've finished your print. So you finally finished that photograph that you love. You're going to put it on the wall. You're going to give it to somebody. You're going to sell it to somebody. And so what are the actual next steps there? And there's a couple of things you need to consider. I think one is if you're selling just the loose print, and we'll talk about that in a second, if that's all that's required. If you're selling the image where it's going to be matted and framed, you have some other considerations you need to take into account for, particularly the mat and the frame. One of the things that I think people don't realize is that when we look at the photograph, we're heavily influenced in some ways by what happens with the matting and the framing. If the matting and framing seems significantly off or out of whack compared to what the photograph is, it can oftentimes lead to be a distraction, and then we end up not enjoying the photograph or spending as much time looking at the photograph as we probably should. So one of the things we really want to do is think a lot about what do we want that mat to be and what do we want that color of that mat to be. And then those same considerations go into the frame. I personally prefer usually a bright white mat because I think with my black and white work, it really just allows the tonality of the image to sing a little bit. It also, I think, causes it to feel a little bit lighter and brighter because of the white mat. I do the same white mat when I'm doing my color photography too because I don't want to have the colors of the photograph be inadvertently misperceived or shifted by the use of a color mat. So I want the mat to be as simple as possible. Now you might think, oh, I could use a middle gray mat for that, but I've oftentimes found the middle gray mats just make the photographs feel a little bit darker. And in many cases, somebody else might want to come in and remat that at some point in the future. And if they go to a white mat, I want to make sure that that feels as consistent as possible. Occasionally when I'm working with my black and white photography or with a particular substrate, a particular paper that might have a little bit of a creaminess to it, I might consider using a little bit of an off-white mat to kind of balance against the tones that exist within the paper, because sometimes that color base, that light cream base, you can accentuate that with a little bit of an off-white mat. But if you go too far into the extreme, you end up with a yellow or a deep cream or something like that, which can sometimes lead to some tonal compression, causing your eye to have a little bit different reaction to the photograph. It is extremely difficult to actually know exactly which white you're going to get. If you've ever gone to paint a room white and walked into the paint store, you know there is a slew of whites available. The same thing happens with matte. So the best thing to do is to take a small sample of your photograph, a smaller version of your photograph, down to the frame shop and actually hold the matte up against it and check the various different colors. Once you've kind of figured out what is the actual white you use, whether it's bright white, polar white, super white, dove white, cream white, whatever the white is, at that point, you then know you could order up your mats in bulk and cut them down to size or have them cut to size. But really going down and taking a look, because it's really difficult to know exactly how bright of white and how pure of white the white will be based solely on the name in a catalog. The other thing you have to consider is once you have that mat selected, the other thing you have to do is think about how big your borders are going to be and how you're going to place that in the center of the mat. In the jump notes for the show, I have a little chart that'll show you some of the mat sizes to image size that have been kind of historically sort of standard. But there is no real process for figuring out the exact width of the mat. You're looking for something that's pleasing, something that doesn't overweight the photograph, or something that underweights the photograph. And what I mean by underweight is that the mat edges are too narrow. In some ways, for me, I would rather have my mat edges be a little too wide than a little too narrow. Because one of the things the mat does is it isolates that photograph, and it allows it to be contained within its own space on the wall, its own space within the image. And if the mat's a little wider, it just allows the person to be a little bit more consumed by the image. Or if the mat's a little too narrow, I find it to be more of a visual distraction. So if you have to err on one side, I normally would recommend that you err to the side of a little bit wider mat. The other piece that you need to consider is that it's an optical illusion in the way our eyes work, but you usually want the bottom of the mat to be a little bit thicker, a little bit wider than the top. And the reason for that is when things are exactly centered and we look at them, we actually think they're a little bit lower than directly centered. We want to lift the photograph in the mat just a tiny little bit. So maybe a quarter an inch to a half an inch, depending on the size of the frame. And if you're doing a really big piece, you may actually lift that a couple of inches. But for most stuff that people would frame on a regular basis, just a quarter inch, a half an inch added to the weight of the bottom will make a significant difference in how you look at the photograph. When it comes to framing, again, it's the same kind of thing as working with a mat. What you want is a frame that accentuates the photograph or aids to the telling of the photograph, the story that the photograph's telling. So maybe it's, you know, if you've got a historical series on old barns, maybe actually having reclamated wood out of old barns for the frames is important to the subtle telling of that story. But in most cases, what you want is a really simple frame that allows the work, again, to be the focus. So whether you choose white, black, silver, gray, doesn't really matter on that as long as it works for you and the image and the location where it's going to hang. Oftentimes when you walk into a gallery, if you do it over years, you'll notice that there's a number of different times you'll see the framing shift. We've gone from black frames to white frames is kind of the dominant sort of way of hanging work now, and the idea that the work is just kind of immersed back into the walls. I personally like kind of silver frames or like gray frames if I'm doing my black and white work. I think it helps subtly with the mid-tones coming out. But for the most part, I prefer a really simple black frame, and I prefer wood frames over metal frames. I just prefer that subtle warmth, even if it's a dark black frame. If it's made out of wood, I just prefer the subtle little bit of warmth that comes from the wood frame. One of the things that you'll realize once you start framing work is that frames can be expensive, and that framing process can be expensive. Luckily, we have pretty standard paper sizes. We frame to pretty standard sizes, and that allows us to reuse frames over and over again, particularly if you're doing a show. For example, I've got a show that's got 25 frames in it. When I print again now, I can actually recycle those frames and use them again for a different show as long as I take care of the frames and keep them from getting banged up and dented up. So having that consistency is really good. So like a consistent matte color and a consistent frame color or two will make a big difference in that. The other thing I think you really need to think about is when you're actually going to create notations onto the photograph or sign the photograph, you know, put little notes onto the photograph. So I want to talk briefly about some of the things to consider including and things to consider when you're actually signing work. The first is signing your work. I think it's really important that we actually sign our photographs. Painters sign their photographs actually onto the canvas. As photographers, we have an option of actually signing outside the actual image. And I think that's one of the things I would recommend you do. Is you'll see some photographers sign actually in the image. I would oftentimes recommend that you sign out in that little bit of border that's left in the image. And in that way, the photograph can remain clean without any distractions of the photograph on the actual image itself. One of the things that would allow is for the person to mat up to the edge of the photograph, and sure, they would cover your signature, but it's still on the actual print. If for some reason you find that you don't want to have your signature at all on the front, you can put it on the back and sign in the back of the print as well. And then that way, if you're, say, printing edge to edge where you don't have any of that little border to sign on, at least make sure you sign the back of the print so that you actually have your own signature and name on the print. When I actually sign on the back, I also print my name just so there's clarity of what the signature actually says. I think one of the other things you can do is if you're going to number your work as a series, it's important to note the annotation of the number on the front or the back, either one. If you're working on the front, it's called in verso. If you're working on the back, it's called in recto. Those are the two kind of Latin terms for that. But you always want to make sure the numbering of the print is important. My friend John Paul Caponegro says it's important to also number each print, even if you're not going to be in a series, just so people know how many times that photograph has been printed and sold, as an accurate reflection of how many are actually in the market. And I think that's really good advice to go ahead and make sure you've actually numbered the print, regardless of whether it's numbered in a series. A couple other things I think that are really important, particularly with the change to digital, we saw a lot of people concerned about the archivability of the work that was being created. And I think that holds true even now when we look at more traditional work, because the archivability of modern inkjet and modern printing techniques oftentimes exceeds the older printing, particularly for color. So I think it's important that you actually provide some production notes, some production value onto the photograph or into the photograph framing collection. Those things would include what kind of paper is it printed on, what type of ink did you use? So if you're printing on a Canon or an Epson, what is the actual type of ink? So is it an Epson Ultra Chrome K ink set? Is it the Ultra HD ink, whatever it is? The printer that it was printed on. And I think that's important because if for some reason something got damaged, let's say like your piece is in a museum and it got damaged, that might help the person who's attempting to restore it or attempting to save it know what kind of materials the particular photograph was created out of. And just like with digital, if you're working in the traditional methods, putting that kind of paper, the kind of developer it was created on, also becomes really informative if there is a problem with the print for some reason in the future, or if the print's damaged and the person comes back and asks you to print it again, you would actually have that information created. A couple other things I always like to make sure I have included with the print is the date that it was printed, and I usually put the negative and the date the negative was created if I happen to know that. I think that's just a nice thing from an archivability standpoint that becomes really important. A couple other things to consider. If you're going to put that stuff on the back of the print, somebody won't be able to see it. So if you're matting and framing, that production notes and where you're going to put those, you're going to want to put them in a place where they're not going to be a distraction on the print. So to write that all across the front of the image, right where your signature is, might prove to be a distraction if somebody wants to mat it with your signature shown. So having that be on the outside of the frame, on the backing paper, or maybe on the back of the mat board or something like that, just someplace where it can be easily found but doesn't prove to be a visual distraction is important. A couple other things, I think people oftentimes ask me, what do I sign the prints with? I think it's important that those signatures also be archival as possible. So usually if I'm signing on a matte paper, I use a pencil or I use one of the Pigma Micron pens. That's a pigment-based pen, so it actually won't fade. It's waterproof. It's a really great thing. And if I'm signing onto a glossy surface or semi-glossy or semi-matte, anything that's got a little bit of sheen to it, I always use one of those Pigma pens for the archivability, and it also allows the ink to actually hold up onto that shinier surface where a pencil won't necessarily penetrate that glossier surface without causing damage to the paper. So I hope I've given you a few things to think about when you're actually coming time to finish and finalize that final print. It's really important that you sign your work. You've taken the time to create it. You've taken the time to edit it and print it. Make sure you get that signature. And whether you do it in recto or in verso doesn't really matter as long as you get the signature on there. But I think one of the things that's important is to start to get consistent with that work. So just like the other things we do in our workflow, if we're consistent, we know we're doing the same thing over and over again. So getting that signature, getting the number, and getting your production notes included, I think is really, really important and really valuable to the process. Have a great week behind the camera. Don't forget, you can always find us online at www.theperceptivephotographer.com, or you can find us up on iTunes. See you next time.